That or not, but we're going to give it the old college try. We're in this series called Just Do It. We're looking at some of the hard teachings of Jesus and some of the things that we often try and explain away or try and minimize the importance of or try and just say, well, you know, Jesus really didn't mean that, did he? But the truth is, Jesus said what he meant what he said. And we need to take it as he said what he meant what he said. Instead of trying to make it more palatable, instead of trying to make it more comfortable for us, even as his own followers. And especially not for people who are outside of the faith and we're trying to share with them what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because when you look at the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus, it was when he had the largest crowds is when he taught the hardest truths. He didn't try and sugarcoat anything. He didn't try and make it more palatable. He didn't try and make it seem more comfortable. He didn't water it down so that they could appreciate it more or be more interested in it. He began to teach the hardest truths when the largest crowd was around, when people were following him. Well, today we're going to look at a passage, and it's kind of the ending of a series of very hard teachings that Jesus did. It comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And if you remember the Sermon on the Mount, he had a large group of people that was following him and the disciples. And this was early on in the ministry of Jesus. It was a time when he was teaching the disciples and really trying to get them to be committed and following him. So they were following along. This large crowd was with him, and he sits down on the side of the mountain, and he calls, or the side of the hill, and he calls the disciples to him, and he begins to teach the disciples. But he's teaching the disciples in the hearing of all of those that are following, and this large multitude of people that were interested in seeing what Jesus had to say, but also the main thing, they were wanting to see what he was doing. And to see this one who was challenging the Pharisees, see this one who was the talk of the region and the town, and they were hearing so much about and very interested in what he was doing. And I want to start in chapter 6. We're not going to start at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount because it's basically three chapters long. But we're in Luke chapter 6, and this is Luke's recording of the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching that Jesus did. And I'm going to go through some of the teachings, but we're going to focus on the ending of it because I think the ending of it is as important as the things that Jesus said, those hard teachings that he said, because it debunks a lot of our cavalierness, a lot of our just excusing some of these things that Jesus said as, oh, he was just speaking in hyperbole. Now, what is hyperbole? It's an over-exaggeration of something to make a point. And so many people will say, well, Jesus, when he said these things, obviously he was speaking in hyperbole. He really didn't mean for us to literally do this. But I think the ending of the Sermon on the Mount will explain and kind of debunk that idea that, yeah, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said to what it means to be a follower. So if you will, we're just going to kind of begin at Verse 27 of chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. If you would stand with me, we're going to read, and I'm going to kind of skip around as we go through until we get down to verse 46. Verse 27 of chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you or insults you," is literally what it means, "hits you on the one cheek, offer to him the other also. For whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away from what is yours, do not demand it back." That word where it says takes away, it means by force. Yeah, they take it from you. He says, don't demand it back. "Treat others in the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those who you expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good to those, and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father has been merciful to you. Drop down to 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over for your by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Verse 40. A pupil is not above his teacher, and everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now drop down to 46. This is where we're going to focus tonight. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who, building a house, dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When the floods occurred, the torrents burst against that house, and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly, he is like the man who built a house on the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed. And the ruin of that house was great. You may be seated. Now, again, remember the context of 46 through 49. The context is Jesus has just been teaching. He's went through the Beatitudes. He's gone through all this teaching about giving. And if you look at Matthew also gives the account of the Sermon on the Mount and records Jesus' teaching. And he goes in a little bit more detail about some things. And he adds some teachings there that Jesus taught that Luke didn't put in here. And he gives the last part that Luke ends with, that Jesus ended that Sermon on the Mount with. So there's a lot of difficult teachings in there. He's telling us that we're supposed to be forgiving, that we're supposed to be generous, that we're not supposed to expect things back when we loan them to somebody. And if somebody takes something ours, we shouldn't throw a hissy fit trying to get it back. If someone insults us, we're not to insult them back. We're to treat people like we want to be treated, not like they're treating us. And so all of these very hard teachings, all of these things that go completely against human nature, goes against our pride, basically. And Jesus is teaching these things, and oftentimes we as Christians, as church people, we will make excuses. Well, you know, Jesus really didn't mean that literally. You know, you've got to understand when you're reading the Bible, you've got to understand there's some things you take literally, and there's some things that are hyperbole. There's some things that are figurative speech, methods of speaking. And so, you know, you've got to kind of determine. Well, context determines meaning, right? Anytime you're dealing with a conversation, anytime you're dealing with the Bible, anytime you're dealing with what somebody else said, if you don't know the context in which it was said, you're not going to get the true meaning of it. You can make it say whatever you want it to say. Well, the context here is very important. Jesus brought his disciples to him on the mountain and said, "Look, guys, this is what you need to know and you need to do as a follower of mine if you're going to be my disciple." And in the teaching, he's also letting the people around him hear the expectation of what it means to be a follower of Christ, what it means to be a disciple, what it means to be a son and daughter of God. And so he's telling these things, and if it's hyperbole, then he's fooling them. Because he goes on to the end and he explains, and he takes away the argument for hyperbole at the very end. Because I know God's wise. Jesus is wise. He knows human nature. He knows if he hadn't have clarified this, then we would just kind of excuse it as hyperbole. Oh, God, Jesus didn't really mean that. He was just over-exaggerating to make a point. But he finishes with this so that we cannot say he meant it figuratively. That it wasn't over-exaggerating a point. It is meant to be literal. These teachings that he's telling and what he says it means to be a follower of Christ and how we're supposed to live, it's meant to be literal. Because he says in verse 46, "Everyone who comes to me," all you folks that are around here, You folks sitting in the pews, you're coming to church to hear the Word of God. You're coming to Bible studies on Sunday morning to hear the Word of God, to know what it means to be a follower. You're coming to Bible studies outside of church, and you're getting together in small groups, and you're studying the Word of God so you'll know how to live. He says, everyone who comes to me and hears these words of mine, he says, I'll tell you what he's like. There's two types of people. That's why I tell you every Sunday morning when we do an invitation, look, you this is your time of response. You're either going to respond yes or you're going to respond no. You're going to listen to what Jesus says, what the Bible says, or you're not. You're going to respond. You don't have a choice. And Jesus said there's two categories of people that hear my word. He says the first one is the one who comes to me and hears my word and acts upon them. Now, what does it mean to act upon them? Put them into practice. Do what it says. Put it into practice. The one who lets that word govern his actions and his behaviors and how he lives. The one who hears my words and acts upon them. I will show you what he is like. He's like a man who's building a house. Now, if you read Matthew's version, he says he was like a wise man who built a house. Now, Matthew uses the term wise man, but I think Luke said, well, that's kind of redundant. Because anybody that builds a house, if they're smart, they're going to lay a foundation. All right? If you've done any kind of construction, you know that the foundation is the most important part. If you don't get the foundation right, nothing else is going to be structurally sound. That's why you spend so much time squaring up the foundation, leveling the dirt, getting everything just so, getting the beginning point, the starting point, the thing on which everything else about that building is going to rest. You try to get it as perfect as possible. If you're a quality builder, if you're smart, if you're a wise man. So Jesus says that the one who comes to him hears these words and puts them into action. I'll tell you what he's like. He's like a man that's going to build a house. And when he builds that house, he digs deep. That literally means that he dug and he went deep. We're helping my son and daughter-in-law build a shop right now that they're going to live in while they build their house. Well, we're building up in what used to be a pasture, but has grown up in woods, and for the past 35 years or 40 years, it's had pines growing up in it, and all kind of hedge bushes and all kind of mess, and so there's a lot of just soft, decayed leaves and stuff on top of the ground. But underneath, if you dig down about 6 or 8 inches, there's a pretty good clay base. So the important thing is we can either just build right on top, and it settle or it shift, or you can dig down a little deeper and get to some solid clay and pour a good foundation. Here they're talking about digging down to bedrock and digging down and building the house, putting the foundation on the rock that's deep in the ground. Bubba knows all about that, building in the mountains. The rock's not very deep. But still, he says, look, the one who hears my words and acts on it is like the guy who builds a house and he digs deep for the foundation. Everybody knows that that's a wise thing to do. That's a guy that wants this house to last. This is a guy that is not wasting his time, not wasting his money, not wasting his material. He wants this to be a structure that lasts a long time. He's a quality builder. He is a wise man. So Luke didn't add the word wise like Matthew did. He just simply, it's understood. If you're building a house, you want a good foundation if you're a wise builder. So he says he digs deep. He lays the foundation on the rock. When the floods occurred, the torrents burst against the house, could not shake it because it was well built. He said, look, I'm teaching you this, and I understand this is some hard stuff. I understand this goes against every fiber in your being. I understand it goes against everything that you've been taught about how you're supposed to treat people. If you don't stand up for yourself, nobody's going to do it for you. If you don't put them in their place, then you deserve to get run over. You're not supposed to be a doormat. Who said? Sounds like Jesus is talking about just the opposite. We don't like that. I'm just going to tell you. At 275 pounds, 6'2", I want to push back. I feel like the odds are pretty much in my favor if somebody wants to bow up. But the Bible says if you're going to be a follower of Christ, that can't be our attitude. That we are to walk in humility. That if somebody takes advantage of us, the most important thing is that we can share the love of Jesus with them. We can share the truth of God with them. Not create an enemy, not create a fight, not create more friction. He says, look, it's just stuff. That's what Jesus is saying. It's just stuff. It does not matter. Introducing someone to Jesus is what matters. Introducing someone to salvation is what matters. Introducing someone to the love, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy of God is more important than you demanding your stuff back and you demanding your rights. Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be a follower of mine, we are to live radically different. And our greatest desire in our interaction with people is to introduce them to God, to show them the mercy and the love of God, not to fight for our rights. Because as Paul says, don't you know that your body's not your own? You've been bought with a price? That we are slaves of God? That we have given up our rights so that God's glory may shine through our lives? See, we can't demand our rights and glorify God all at the same time. We can't fight for our stuff and honor God at the same time. I don't like it either, folks, okay? I see your faces. I don't like it either. But I've seen it worked out. I've seen it lived out. I've experienced it. When you walk in the love and the grace and the mercy of God, when you will demonstrate the generosity of God, when you will show the forgiveness of God, it opens up the whole new opportunity of sharing the truth of God with people. So Jesus says, the one who hears my words and acts on them is like a wise man. He builds a house and he lays it on a good foundation. If you want to be a disciple of God, it is impossible to discount the Word of God. If the Word of God isn't going to guide your every thought, every action, every reaction, and every purpose in your life, then he says, you're not going to be of any value. He goes on and he says, the one who comes to me, verse 49, but the one who has heard and has not acted. So on the one hand, you've got the positive. The one who hears and acts on them, he's the one that is like a man that builds a house on a firm foundation. He's like the wise man, the wise builder. The second one is the negative. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on ground without any foundation. Now, even a non-construction-minded person knows that you can't build a house without a good foundation. It's only a fool that would come out here and try and build a mansion with no foundation. Only a fool would say, oh, that concrete and that rebar and all those footings and all that, that's just wasted money. Let me just save that money and I'm going to put it in all the appliances and all the stuff in my house. He's a fool. Nobody would do that. Well, Jesus says, if you come to me and you want to know how to live in right relationship with God, you come to me and you want to be my follower, you want to be my disciple, but when I tell you something, you just discount it and say, oh, you know, I'm sure he didn't really mean that. It goes back to verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? He said, look, if you're not going to do what I say, you can't be my disciple. You're just a fool playing church. You're just a fool playing disciple. You cannot be my disciple unless you put my words into practice. Unless you're committed to doing those hard things. He says, look, anybody, even sinners, lend to other sinners to get paid back. Even sinners love people that love them. Even sinners give to people that's going to pay them back one day and give them something else one day. He said, but if you're going to be my disciple, we've got to live differently. Are we wise? Or are we playing the fool? Now, we've got way too many people that come to church, sit through the Bible study, sit through the singing, may even come to Sunday school, but then when they live through the week, they don't try and apply anything that they've heard. come up with every excuse, come up with every reason not to do what God says we're supposed to do, and then somehow think that they're okay with God. Jesus says, no, you're a fool. You're as foolish as a man who's throwing his money away on a house with no foundation. Because when the storm comes, when the waters rise, the house is going to crash. Your spiritual house is going to crash because you're not putting into practice what I say. So as we look at this and in this series, man, we've got to understand, yeah, there are some places where poetic language is used, where metaphors and those things are used, where there's some language that is not meant to be taken literally. But Jesus doesn't use that very much. Jesus says what he means what he says. And if we're going to be his followers, then we've got to put it into practice. Otherwise, we're just trying to fool ourselves because we're not fooling God. And we're not fooling the world. We've had way too many fools who are church members. The world can pick them out really quick. Your children can pick it out really quick if you're authentic or not. This younger generation can pick it out really quick if you're being authentic as a follower of Christ or you just play in the game. Jesus said, there's only two types of people when it comes to those who hear my words. You're either wise and put them into practice, or you're a fool and discount them. But you can't call me Lord and not do what I say. There is no excuse. And your house of cards, this flimsy spiritual life that you're building, is going to come crashing down when trouble comes here or when Jesus comes and it's too late. So I want to encourage you. There are some things that you just got to do. They're not optional. It's not if I want to do it or when I feel like do it or when I get spiritually mature enough to do it. Jesus says, anyone who comes to me to hear what I've got to say, you either act on it or you don't act on it. And what you do determines whether you're a wise man or a fool. Because when you discount the truth, you're just a fool. Not my words, Jesus' words. All right? So we as a church, we need to... We need to step up, step out, and put these things into practice if we're going to reach this generation. If we're going to reach the lost in 2018, 2019, 2020, if we're going to be relevant to this world and to the kingdom of God, we've got to be wise and act on the Word of God. Quit playing church. Quit playing these spiritual games. Quit discounting the things that you don't want to do. And just do it. Or we're never going to be useful for the kingdom. We're never going to reach this generation. We're never going to make a difference until we get serious about being obedient. All right? Let's stand.